Yeah, I was
Recording in progress.
No, I think we would have on the part.
All right, I'm going to call this meeting to order. It is 6:30. The first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance led tonight by Councilmember Leland.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, everybody, thanks for coming out. Next item up is the public comment. Once again, this time is set aside for public comments on all public matters that are not on the meeting agenda. Public comments are to be limited in to a reasonable duration. Is there any public comment right now on non-agenda items?
I'm just going to wrap this up from last week. Dave Jensen, 401 West Galen. For the record, I'm not always against what the city council and city staff is proposing, but I'm usually 100% against how this group is proposing to pay for it. Developers and people that benefit from the proposals can pay for them instead of having the average East Summit resident pay for it. And the other alternative proposed several meetings ago, this group can pay for it, but that does not seem to be too well received by this group, which is not surprising. Also, almost all my previous comments pertain to unacceptable city staff performance that has and will continue to incur additional unnecessary and unwarranted cost expenditures that have required East Helena residents to pay more in user fees but obtain less cost-effective services. This city attorney and this public works director did a lot of similar trades and thinking. For instance, in the past, both in regularly pushed back or and/or distorted the request and intent of not only the average East Helena resident, but previous and current council members that would have benefited the majority of East Helena residents, which I still can't believe that kind of behavior is or what tolerated at all. These two positions are the hired help, not the final decision makers, nor are they paying for the adverse results of those bad decisions, but are rewarded with salaries that are not commensurate with their education skills and work history. For example, with regards to Red Fox Meadow List, brief order agreement, the city attorney pushed back on a resident and council member's concerns about the inclusion of verbiage to not have the city of East Helena purchase back unused sewer capacity, but rather the city take the capacity back at no cost after a set number of years. And that additional fees should be charged for non-East Helena entity to be allowed to utilize the wastewater plant in perpetuity along with other issues. The public works director failed to effectively monitor the number of connections that should have been paying monthly fees, and both this public works director and city attorney failed to include all of the non-East Helena entities, Red Fox Meadows, Fairley Park, and East Clark Street Sewer District, and the sewer rate increase notification and resolution development approval process, which has resulted in tens of thousands of lost revenue to East Helena, but current East Helena residents from sure bills for the unwarranted user fees in a timely manner. In addition, this public works director is still not required the responsible parties access concrete dumping in the north borrow pit of the 300 block of West Gale Street to clean up that debris, which has resulted in the new tractor mower hitting that solid concrete material, which is unacceptable. The developer to properly maintain the non-paved service in a drivable condition on the 300 block of East Pacific Street, even though there's an executed agreement to do so in place. As anybody with even a minimal amount of personnel management experience knows, people that fail tend to assimilate and defend people that are like them. So based on this city attorney's past performance with not enforcing city ordinances, even though he's an officer of the court, along with drafting and negotiating various types of agreements and resolutions that end up costing the average East Helena residents tens to hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of dollars in the long run, it was expected that the city attorney would try to defend the public works director a couple of meetings ago, along with this mayor, trying to defend the both city attorney and public works director at the end of the last council meeting. In closing, it's unfortunate that previous and current city council members and mayors did not enforce city ordinances and or ignore them altogether, not performing their sworn fiduciary duties at an ethical and cost-effective level. Each city council member has the ethical fiduciary responsibility to provide oversight, internal controls, and checks and balances to the mayor and his non-elected staff to ensure maximum benefit to the majority of the East Helena residents that elected them. When other council members, mayor, and or non-elected staff are clearly directing resources and resident taxpayer funds that provide maximum benefit to a small group of people and or non-East Helena entities such as school district, town pump, American Chem, and other developers. Current council members, this mayor, need to revisit the oath they were sworn into to uphold to ensure city ordinances are enforced, resident tax dollars and user fees are realized cost effectively, along with ensuring that other East Helena residents and developers pay their fair share rather than just passing that cost to the average East Helena resident or reducing city provided services that they're paying for. Finally, this has been a very painful to watch over the last 7 years, the pain increasing considerably over the last 4 years. I keep thinking this is one of those prank TV shows with hidden camera where somebody jumps out and says, surprise. Or this is just a nightmare and I will wake up and this is not, and this has not been a real life experience at all. But unfortunately for me and the other average Eastern residents, that is not the case. A person in public service has to possess the right mentality for the job, where if you can't represent the best interests of the people who elected you and or pay your salary 99% of the time, then the job you are in is not for you and you need to move on.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? See any online, Amy?
No.
See somebody's online. Who?
It's Roger.
Okay. Make sure. Thank you. All right. Seeing no further public comment, that brings us to the approval of the October 1st, 2024 minutes. You have the minutes in front of you. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council. I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented. And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is the city court report. I don't believe we have one. That's... We do. Oh, yes. Payments are in there. Yep. As you can see, he has the fiscal numbers there for the court. I don't think there's probably a comment on that. That is just kind of what's the report. That brings us to the administrative report. Once again, as always, we meet up with Amy.
I attended training for the TextMyGov app. We hope to have that in service by November 15th. The audit report was issued. Don probably received a copy of that. And we have copies in the office or electronically if you'd like to see any of those. I'm getting ready for the accountant to be here so we can close fiscal year 24 and start working on the AFR. And I included in on the table a report from NETG.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions, Robbie? Seeing none. Chief Sanders is used tonight, but he has the report available to you on your desk. I believe it's this one here. This speaks to the call of service and mentions that Councilmember Leland and me have the interview process for a police chief. Are there any questions regarding that? Seeing none, Public Works.
Yay! Okay, so a couple things with the talk about bid opening. We pushed the bid opening back to Friday the 18th at 1. Originally, it was supposed to be tomorrow at 1 p.m. We have some subs that are a little slow in their response. So at the request of the generals, they're all bidding that. They ask for 2 more days. We don't have to advertise again or anything. So we're all within the legal requirements when we're doing that. So Friday, 1 p.m., fingers crossed that the bids open and there's good pricing in that. So we'll see. So far, there's 2 generals that are building it. Dick Anderson Construction was on the fence whether they had enough manpower. They got awarded a big ARPA job in a different part of the state, which was like it was a very large project. So let's see what we get. Other than that, October 31st, we'll be meeting with DEQ to have some preliminary talks about coming up with a working agreement between DEQ and the city to continue to write capacity letters for this future development, even though technically on paper we're running very low on future capacity. Belgrade had run into this similar situation where the growth was just so extreme, you know, they couldn't make the improvements fast enough to keep up with those will serve letters. They did come up with an agreement with DEQ, so it is an option. So we had some preliminary talks with DEQ. They know what we're looking for. They also know that we're, you know, obviously applied for the groundwater discharge permit. You know, we're making those advances on being able to do that. We're working on the master plan to be able to obviously do the plan upgrades that are needed. But we'll meet with them on Halloween and see what scary things they have to say there, but we'll keep you posted. MJD finished up the work at the caissons. They killed it up there. They came in and did a bunch of dirt work for us and put in some culverts for some drainage issues that have been horrible historically forever. It looks really good. So the guys are going to be doing some mowing up there on the 5 acres. And then the big thing you guys have to decide is if you want to go take the vintage photo of you standing on top of the water tank
yes.
in the fall, or if we wait till the spring. So that's the big question.
Or not.
I think we're there. Seems right to do it.
I think it's a challenge, like a total.
But anyway, It looks really, really good up there. The bridge and stuff. I mean, just the safety for the employees to be able to walk across that creek and not try to skate across the log at 20 below is huge. So thanks to METG and everybody that funded that project and did that. Originally, reports I said that Helena Sand was going to start next week on streets are actually going to start doing some of the milling work tomorrow and Thursday. And then mid part of next week, they can't give me an exact date, but probably they're saying maybe Tuesday, but for sure by Wednesday, they'll be starting to do the paving stuff. Again, we added two blocks of Third, one block of Cleveland, and that block of East Rochelle. And in your packets, I did you have a pretty little map to show you since 2021 what you guys have chip sealed, crack sealed, or repaved. It's significant. It's far better than it ever has been. So we'll just keep making these improvements as we can. It'll still leave us about 245,000, somewhere right in there. Don't quote me exact, but we're still sitting on quite a bit of gas tax money. So as problems arise, plus the $50,000 of this emergency savings that we like to keep in there. So thanks to Helen and Sam for all that. I met with the school district a couple weeks ago, I guess now time flies, about the whole Thurman extension. They're on board with it. They are willing to grant us the easement. As all things, it gets a little more complicated. So what we realized with the surveying stuff that we will be splitting that lot in half, which forces us to go through the subdivision process if it's dedicated as public right of way, which isn't the end of the world. However, the school has not been open to dedicating those other streets as public right of way that are on their property. So they're in some internal negotiations with that. We'll just see how it goes. Again, this is just something we're working through. Probably through the winter. The developer in Highland Meadows is stubbing out Thurman Street to the property line. So, I mean, that'll be there. Sewer and water will be there. So we'll see what kind of costs are associated with that. The other thing we'll have to get approval on is with DEQ, just approval to put the water main in there and get that, which is, it's only, 500 feet, basically, a water main. It's not a big deal. But we're working through that. Again, school board is on, they're on board with wanting to do it. They don't want to financially contribute to it other than granting the easement, which is understandable. So we'll work through that. Other than that, you guys have received several emails about Pacific Street in the last couple of weeks. So again, we are working with that property owner. He retroed the old crumbling garage into a very nice residence. So it's great to see these projects go and houses get improved in the East Island area. He is building that triplex. He's supposed to do his sewer and water tie-in next week, and then at that point they are fixing all the pavement that's required. We're also going to piggyback on that with cap paving and fix a couple spots farther east. There's a horrible pothole that's the sewer manhole that was set way too low way back in existence, so we're going to fix that and just do some improvements there. Also, the spalling issue on Pacific Street is not continuing to get worse. We've looked at it multiple times. Again, this was not a concrete issue. This was with talking with those homeowners that they applied salt. As you guys know, we've talked about this in the past. And we've since talked with, I don't know if either of those homeowners still live there, but we talked to them and asked them not to put salt down, especially on fresh concrete. What else? Letter. We did get a letter from, what's that guy's name?
Mr. Lindberg.
Yeah, thanks. Matt Lindberg.
Matthew.
We didn't lie to him. I told him though that probably earlier in the year we would be doing the pavement on the 400 or 500 and 600 blocks of rigs. That House Bill 355 just took longer than we thought. And then Kelly and I, we did look at that chunk of Prickly Pear Avenue by the post office, and it's not great, but there was other areas far worse. So it's kind of on the list. We know that it's cracked up. It's not even. It's something maybe we look at in the spring again as we get the next round of gas tax and just see what, for sure we have left. But Matt's a good guy. Everything in there for the most part. I mean, we've said we're doing what we're doing. It just took longer again.
Did you respond to him?
Kelly tried to reach out to him a couple times.
I've called him twice. He's going to get him an instant phone.
Kelly was trying to get a hold of him. I did not.
Out this weekend, doing some training.
So, yeah, I left messages both times. He says to text and do it. It's kind of weird, but like, People are receiving a lot of phone calls from various numbers at this time of the year and are unwilling to answer the phone. I think that might be what's going on here. I know my phone gets 15 to 20 calls a day from people wanting not, so we'll not answer.
At some point, I'll talk to him. I'm sure he actually, I mean, I haven't talked to him a ton, but probably a few times in years.
I've talked to him. He's a good guy. So,
yeah. Yeah. On that, you guys have any questions?
What time on the 31st?
Don't know. I think I don't know. I have no.
Can you send that to us, please? And then if some of us can join, we'll figure that out.
For yep.
Time.
Yep.
You got it. Thank you.
Any questions for Kevin? Seeing none. Okay. All right. Chief Campbell is with us via the World Wide Web tonight. Can you hear us, bud?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so short, nice and short report. It's been a rather uneventful couple months for us. We did have a baghouse fire at Kemet last month. It was just a small one. I've been dealing with Danielle and Craig, who are the safety officers over there, getting the reports filed and what we need to do for them. We only put like 46 gallons of water on it. They don't like us to put a lot of water in those hoppers. Makes the material harder to get out. So to accommodate them, we did that. We felt good about it. I went back the next day and talked to Craig and Danielle personally, walked back down in there. We looked at some things, unknown cause on the fire. We have some suspicions and theories, but we don't know for sure. There's so many variables that can affect that. So other than that, responses have been going real well. I did just send out 4 termination letters to members who I haven't seen in over a year. Two of them I've never even met. So I thought it was time to start cutting some dead wood. I am in the process of interviewing 5 new applicants, 3 who are EMT qualified, which would be good for us to help with some coverage time. Other than that, today I did the walkthrough with the state fire marshal at the new town pump over on the west side of town. It's going to be a huge, huge building over there. Everything went good. They just have to put some signage up for me. And then I have to get a hold of town pump themselves because I'm dealing with Markovich, the contractor. But I have to get a hold of town pump to get give them a list of the keys, the 3 keys that I would like to get so we can put those in our Knox box on the building. We did do water flow testing today, fire alarm testing, battery backup testing. We were there about an hour and 45 minutes doing some testing over there. I do need to talk with Craig Janeskins about one issue, but it's not going to affect anything. Their tentative open date right now is sometime in November. They don't know for sure. They had a setback with MDT on their Highway 12 approach. If you've gone into town lately, you can see that lane's all blocked again. They have to tear part of that out and redo it. Even after they did it according to MDT's plan, now MDT says, no, that's not how we want to do it. So they're doing all of that work. I will voice an opinion on this that I am concerned, and I know there's nothing we can do about it. I am concerned about traffic in and out of that facility, especially in the wintertime, because the Highway 12 approach is an uphill approach. And in the wintertime, I'm concerned about truck traffic coming out of there, having to go uphill on maybe an icy road, and then the possibility of them trying to make left turns to go east onto Highway 12 off of Wiley. I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to drive down Main Street and either go up first to the stoplight or go all the way down to Lane and up to the stoplight, which would be a better choice since there's no grade there. It's pretty much a flat where First Street is still an uphill grade for those guys. I think it's going to push truck traffic down our streets, which could be a potential for accidents for us, as well as the degradation of our streets. So little issue there that I don't know if we've looked into that or not. I'll get with Kevin this week and we'll talk about that. The only other thing I have is on the 31st, we will be out at the station doing our Halloween trick-or-treat thing, handing out candy. Looking forward to that. It's always one of my favorites. And then we're already in the planning stages for Christmas stroll in December. So we're kind of gearing up for all of those things and getting some training done. So anybody have any questions for me?
Two things quick, Chief. Stick around for new business number one. You might see some of the answers to some of the questions you were asking.
Okay.
Regarding some truck traffic. And make sure you don't let that new beer cave get on fire over there. We're really, that's a real asset to the community.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for the chief? Seeing none. All right, we just have two items of new business tonight. First one is Ordinance 289, which is, I'll hand over to Pete here real quick, which is just an addendum, adding a new chapter, providing for the establishment of truck routes through the city of East Helena. I'll basically take it from there.
So as the mayor said, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of East Helena, Montana, providing that the East Helena Municipal Code be amended by adding a new chapter, 913, providing for the establishment of truck routes throughout the City of East Helena. Directly to the fire chief's question as to how do we mitigate truck traffic given the attractive new truck stop on the edge of our town. What we've done here, through meetings with the engineers and the police department or the chief, is try to find a way that one, it's enforceable and visible for officers to be able to identify trucks and traffic that we're trying to limit from our interior streets of the municipality, while also allowing the proper flow of goods and commerce through our great town. What you have before you is what we've come up with, which is essentially defining what a truck is under this chapter, which if you look at part five on page one there, it's any truck with three axles or more, or an additional trailer with three axles or more. And then trying to ensure that those types of vehicles and trailers end up on approved truck routes. You go to 913-3, traffic within the city. Through truck traffic is prohibited upon any street which is not designated as a truck route. We'll get to what those truck routes are proposed. Again, this is the first time you guys are seeing this. This was the direction we got as city staff. We try to meet the elected officials' will wherever we can, as best we can. So this is the first time you're seeing it. All trucks on a trip originating in the city will proceed on the shortest route possible to a street upon an established truck route. All trucks entering the city will proceed over an established truck route and will deviate only at the intersection with the street nearest the destination point. What we're saying here is trucks need to go to people's homes. Think of a Lowe's truck delivering refrigerator or furniture, or moving trucks, Mergenthalers. They still need to get into town and visit residences. They need to take the shortest route possible and get back on approved truck routes. Upon leaving the destination point, a deviating truck must travel to its next destination or nearest truck route, whichever is closest, by the shortest route possible. There are exceptions in 913-4. The article does not prohibit the operation of, number one, trucks where necessary to conduct business at a point of destination. You can think of the type of businesses we have along Main Street that maybe deliveries in the morning along back alleys and things. But again, they need to get back on a truck route. Two, emergency vehicles. We don't want to limit, ambulances and fire trucks and things. Trucks upon any detour properly established by the city. So you can think of times where we've needed to direct traffic in other ways as we work on our streets. Number four, school buses being driven to either a pickup or delivery of students to schools or their homes. You can think of kids who need special pickups or just the routes our school buses take as they get to and from the schools within our community. Number 913-5 is the establishment of the actual truck routes by ordinance. List them there. And these are city controlled roadways. We excluded Highway 12 and 518. So those are MDT routes. We're not establishing rules for those roads. We're establishing rules internally to our streets. They go Wiley Drive, Valley Drive / Montana Ave, just because there's a name change at a point there. Lane Avenue, Main Street, and Highway 518. It then goes into part B that the public works director will sign these things properly. 913-6 indicates that the city clerk will maintain an accurate map I put together a quick overview from Google Maps and just some red lines indicating where those routes are. We'll work with the engineers to actually get a map similar to what you see behind us indicating these routes. But these are the roads to the city, municipal boundaries of the city. So you have Wylie Valley in Montana. You have 282, and then Lane Avenue as well. And you can just tell what we're doing there in Main Street, trying to ensure traffic is flowing through the city properly on roads that hopefully can maintain the weight and the challenges those trucks bring. Enforcement, it is punishable under chapter 12 of Title 9, Part 1, which is just your typical penalty up to $500 in jail time, potentially if we have repeat folks who just do not want to adhere to the truck routes. Again, this was born from conversations with the administration, with our engineers, and the police department, and what was achievable and enforceable. Any of your questions?
Well, yeah, I think just to quickly, I think Peter did a really good job on this, trying to encapsulate the wishes we heard from people and make it as enforceable and as clear as possible. And the other options we looked at were some of the weight things and stuff, and it just, we just don't have a way to, like, we don't have a scale, we're not enforceable. Like, it's not something we enforce. I think we can have pretty clear signage and have, this is a pretty good way to go about it. So, but we're still open to ideas if you guys have other stuff here.
I have a question though. Define the difference between Highway 282 and Highway 518 as far as why one is enforceable and one is not.
One is a municipal route maintained by the city. 518 is an MDT route and not. We, under statutory authority, have the ability to regulate internal streets to the city. But
and Highway 282 falls within that, but 518 is not.
Correct.
For a portion of it, well, like how far up there, like when's it?
Right. And then
like a water tower, basically. Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize there was.
That was the last one I added today, and talking to Kevin, like, because I asked him, like, what are we doing on 518? Because it just, we're not doing Highway 12 because that's clearly an MDT route. 518 is MDT. We are not regulating state routes. That's the intent. And in talking to Kevin, 282.
Technically, Main Street is also a state route, and 282 is still a state route. We don't maintain them.
We do 282.
282, we maintain Main Street.
Yeah, not Main Street, but being that it's internal and that we have to actually label.
Well, that's where, yeah. It's
I think there's a potential with some of the stuff we've heard on. And that route is one that's been identified as potentially being worked on. Where is that? 282.
Oh, well, 282, we're just, I mean, as Habitat comes in there, I mean, we're going to have to do some forcing. But, I mean, MDT has no say-so over 282 and the other.
Until it gets out of city limits.
They don't know. They don't have a way because it goes. Yeah, the MDT doesn't have any control over it anymore. So it goes East Helena, a little chunk of city in Helena, back to East Helena, then the county. It's really weird. And then it goes into Jefferson County.
And I, on this map, again, was just me drawing it to the municipal boundaries of the city, what we're authorized to legislate or regulate. And the thought is, especially, I think, this is just kind of where we see the heavier traffic and would prefer that these guys end up. We have a plan in place through the council and Kelly's good work with getting that grant for Valley. No one would say right now it's a great truck route, but where it ties into the county to the north and the work we're going to do on it, and then Wylie as well. It just seems like that was to the fire chief's point coming out of the Newtown pump. There's going to be some necessary signage there, so certain members of the public will be assured that there's a sign telling them not to, and police who are enabled to interdict and have conversations.
Any public comment on the ordinance
resolution?
Hey, Jensen, 401 West Gale. This agenda item should be tabled due to the fact that the proposed ordinance was not distributed to the public at least 48 hours in advance so that the informed public comments could be developed and expressed during that meeting. But since I wrote this and I was going to enter this into the public record, I did scratch in some additional comments. I was able to get a copy and I just needed it about a half hour before this meeting started. In addition, this ordinance is too vague and it's going to be difficult to enforce for the following reasons. One, it did not specify the maximum truck GVW for both on route and off route, which is going to be critical. Did not specify maximum turning radius. This is a big crucial safety one, and I think this alludes to the fire chief. Did not specify maximum turning radius for allowable trucks, i.e. the truck wheelbase or WD designation. Oversized and overload vehicles should not be allowed off route. This is what's occurring now. Trucks are coming out of the town pump and they are turning before Main Street. They're turning down Gale. And we just had probably another half a dozen of them last week that were oversized and overload. What they do is about starting when they're heading eastbound down Gale, about the end of the 300 block, starting at the beginning of the 200 block, they start moving over into the westbound lane and they travel that way down to First Street, or and a lot of them now, several over half of them were traveling all the way down to Morton and then trying to make that right. But they travel from like the 200 block, the 100 block, all the way to Morton. They're traveling in the westbound lane. Down at the bottom, you almost have a good example of that. That truck and trailer moved over in the westbound lane. A truck and trailer tried to come around the corner off Morton, going to try to go westbound, forced them into the Barrow pit. Big mess, but nobody bent too much metal, and they didn't call the cops. Three, did not specify allowable truck classifications for both on route and off route. Let me go back to two. Also, those trucks that came back, they came back up Gale. Traveling westbound, they moved over at the 200 block and, or excuse me, the 300 block, the end of the middle of the 300 block and the 400 block, which I live on. They moved over into the eastbound lane and went all the way up to Wiley, sat there, and then made a right-hand turn onto Wiley to go northbound. Blocked traffic that was trying to turn off of Wiley and make a right onto Gale. They had to drive around into the westbound lane and then veer back without getting into and without hitting other westbound vehicles. Three, did not specify allowable truck classifications for both on route and off route. And then number five, the truck definition is too vague, should read a minimum of two, not three or more axles. You've got big box type trucks that are traveling through town who can't make the turning radius overloaded, which is blowing up the pavement. So the definition is too vague. Number five should read two axles, not three or more, with a truck classification and a GVW defined by classification for off route.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment on the ordinance? Council. This is your discussion there, point.
To Mr. Jensen's concerns, if a truck was traveling on Gale, the police would have all authority to stop that truck if it was not supposed to be there to tell them they were supposed to be in the truck route, regardless of what type of truck it was.
I believe it handled within this ordinance, yes. Right.
Okay.
That is my belief.
Is that how you would interpret that, officer? Thank you.
What they would not be able to do is determine the GVW.
Correct.
No, they don't have scales or anything like that.
And scales.
No, they're not going
to
be.
And I was concerned to more definition, but I don't think most of the truck drivers are not going to. They're sticking to the truck route with all of this.
Yep.
And then they have two, three, four, as they do now.
In writing this, we did canvas kind of around the state how municipalities had tried to tackle this question, and this has been adopted by a few municipalities around the state that seem to kind of meet the needs and the chief's concerns.
Without addressing GPW.
Correct. The concern being, like, we're just going to pull over every single truck and ask to see their weight tickets. How many, I mean, we're just going to be answering cop calls for trucks that someone thinks look too heavy. Whereas three axles, every single vehicle has two axles. Three axles, you need to be on a truck route. And that is why we went this direction, but pending your guidance, we can change direction.
I will say, internally in our discussion, this was the most clear and enforceable way to have this written. We did, as Pete's mentioned, look at other cities, and there are other ways to do it. This was the most straightforward, I think. Any further discussion?
I'll move to approve it.
As presented? I have a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Good work, Pete. All right. That brings us to new business number two, ordinance number 290. This is, as you guys guided Pete a while ago, it took a little bit to get it kind of written up, but this is having basically this removal of the open container law in the park from the VFW in that area of town. Again, there are other laws if somebody's causing issues that would solve that. And this kind of eliminates the need for people to come asking for every event that they have in the business district, the main area.
So again, the title of this ordinance, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of East Helena, Montana, providing that the East Helena Municipal Code be amended by revising Chapter 6.1.3, Public Drinking, defining public places to preclude Kennedy Park, Main Street Park, and the downtown commercial district along Main Street from First Street to Thurman Avenue. From the conversation we had with the chief and the discussion of the council, you can see that essentially it is just one provision within the municipal code. Essentially, it keeps in place every other location on city streets and random parking lots, but just carves out those locations. The code already had Kennedy Park in there, given the pavilion and things. We simply added that Main Street Park was no longer considered a public place when just for this ordinance, where public drinking was allowed or not disallowed. And then the downtown commercial district from along Main Street, from First Street to Thurman Avenue. And Thurman Avenue is just that other side of Main Street Park there. So think of the, I think it's right on the other side of the hairdresser shop there. Essentially, it's just the entire section of Main Street in front of the park. So think of the food trucks and other issues we had there, because we looked at potentially some other spots, but that just seemed to match your intent. There are some other things in here which could be revised. Some of these are somewhat antiquated, the definition of beer and liquor and some things. So this one I did want to pose before you. I made the changes that I heard from you in the last meeting, but upon your review, if you saw anything else in here, we could come back and make some revisions, additional revisions, if you so requested, but generally I just kind of stuck to what your intent was. You can see the penalty as well. I didn't change that. The nominal thing, like, I mean, I left city council meeting the other night and drove down Main Street, and there was a guy walking down in one bar across the street with a beer bottle. Like, it's $10 to 50. Don't do it. However, once this is passed, it will be fine.
I've never given the $10.
It was literally the last thing I was driving down Main Street. I was like, well, there's that right there.
He was seeing if he would like it.
Yeah. Is this going to work out all right for me? You can read some of these things. A lot of these municipal codes kind of sit in there until you pull them out and actually go through it. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
When we talk about like public display or exhibition of beer and alcohol, I think this thing, I know it was written in 1977. So some of this language has been on the books for a minute. And if we wanted to table and come back and do a full rewrite on the entire thing here, we could. But I thought this kind of simply matched our intent.
Yeah, and I think the public display from 77 was strictly in place to handle the wild rainiers, and they haven't been around in a while.
No,
wild rainiers, they've been run out, and they were around for a while, but
You guys don't even get that joke because you don't remember what I'm talking about. Google your friend.
It seems Google that they're
your friend. They're funnier, funny commercials when you're having.
There are some states around the country that you can't walk out of a gas station or a grocery store without all of your alcohol in a brown paper bag. You may not go to Alabama. You cannot walk out of a gas station without your case of beer in a brown paper sack.
West Boys in the Hood.
It's a little weird. And that's kind of what this is saying. I think that must be a carryover from where state law used to be. But this is Montana. No one's getting pulled over or arrested for walking out of a grocery store with a sixer.
Any public comment on Ordinance 290? Seeing none, Council.
This one I do have a little bit more of a concern about because unlike the last ordinance that restricted people mainly from outside of the city, so I think that's... This one only, I agree with it, and I want, we'll eventually vote to approve it, but because the portion of it is the downtown commercial between Main Street, or between First and Thurman, that those residents haven't gotten a chance to see that this would change literally right in front of their homes, mm-hmm. I think we should table it for our next meeting, only because of that it will allow for public drinking in front of their homes. And there hasn't been proper opportunity for them to see that.
And there's an opportunity. I mean, we could hold a public hearing and publish it. I don't know how many people go and read the newspaper. Typically when you pass an ordinance, we just need to post it in between the meetings and that's the notice. However, if it is something of importance to the community where you think, and just something that may result in people being, public, great public importance, and I'm sure those folks around along Main Street. So we could do a public notice for it, Wes, and then.
I mean, I think this is mostly, as you guys suggested, was mostly just to address the events, and I think that's what's mostly occurring. And I've never heard, or I don't think you guys have any concerns from the residents regarding the events and people drinking at the events. Not once.
Nope.
Not that there would be. Nope. I don't know, but there could be. It's just I haven't, for reference sake, I haven't had that issue be raised by them. Certainly we could leave it and table, like you said, if you want. What you want to do. Let's see if we get some comment. I think you kind of overrun that, but that's fine.
And I doubt we would get any. The only thing is on the agenda item, it doesn't even have First Street, it just says two, but then it goes through Thurman. So I just feel like we should have, I don't know, I feel like this one should maybe be public to allow people the opportunity should they want to. I don't disagree with it. I want to approve it, and we've been waiting to approve it, so I want to do it. But I just feel like if anybody that would want there want to have
in
the ability to comment on it, they can.
Any other council discussion?
On the first part, on definition of beer, 4% by alcohol, that would eliminate just about every craft
beer. Yeah, yeah. I also thought of that too.
That needs to be upped, I think. And the other thing, the $10 to $50 fine should. My feelings are 50 and 100 makes more sense to me. $10, so what? Kind of like a speeding ticket on the highway. $20, you know. Yeah, I remember when it was five. Yeah.
Well, that is changing. That is changing the. So that is changing the fine in the statute.
Yeah, and I don't.
Areas not included in this.
Yeah.
Amendment. Okay.
But I don't know if that is something that's already written there, if we have the option on that. It's not that big of a deal. I just think it's...
The only change from current municipal code is the red portion. Everything else is on the books.
Yeah.
And it's, if we wanted to rewrite this, and I mean, typically it's hard for city staff to get your direction on one thing and open it up and make a bunch of changes and come back and show you stuff you didn't ask for. So, I mean, it'd be pretty easy to have just a table it, have a committee and sit down with a concerned council member and go through or two council members. So we don't necessarily have a quorum and rewrite this thing. So I don't come back just spinning my wheels on things that Pete thinks is great, but things that you all want to see.
If Pete just tried to do the most efficient method of meeting your guys' discussion from last time you guys
said. We've talked
perhaps for years. I think it's been discussed ad nauseum. I don't think we need to have a committee.
In the enforcement of the other, it refers to chapter 12, 912.1. This one's strictly in this ordinance, it's nowhere else.
Right. So this one within its own chapter and title refers to a specific penalty for this, whereas the traffic one refers to a general penalty within the misdemeanor code under the police department within the city code.
But it wouldn't be found in any other portion.
No, the penalty is referred to directly within this title and chapter. And sometimes we, other places in the municipal code, we refer to the general penalty, which is
right.
Title one or something.
Do you have, may I ask Officer Kirby, do you have folks that you find publicly brought outside of those spaces often?
No. No, I don't. I've never really brought one since I've been here. And we don't typically see it down the roadways or anything like that. And I don't think we've had any call for service for it.
I've not seen it here. I've had a, there was a bar in another place that had like an outside patio and it started to spill into the sidewalk and the street. And there were some citations due to that. It's mostly for drunken, like disorderly. And then also, hey, like you can't be out here with your glass bottle. And
I just know people walking down the road, they're walking down elsewhere. Just, but I mean, that's since you've been here, haven't even had that.
There's some towns they don't have any. I mean, it's, yeah, it's not their liquor license on where they can sell a specific under state law. But as far as this, it's a municipal act.
Closest example is Townsend.
Peaburg, I think, is kind of similar.
Yep. Townsend has nothing that doesn't have it. Not part of the, well, it's not part of the code. It's just never was adopted in the municipal code.
Am I the only one who wants to table it, or is that?
I have no problem with tabling
I want to get it passed because I'm trying to, but I just, under the circumstances that it was only available today, this one's different than the last, so.
I think it's worth a shot, Lynn.
That motion?
Well, I just want to get a feeling of folks.
You
want to
lose?
I'm away. I will make a motion to table until next meeting as it stands.
I have a motion to table.
I'll say
again. And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Table that. All right. That's it for new business. Brings us to the mayor's reports. What has the mayor been up to? A call today regarding our CBDG grant. Let's link to the process of that and the administration of that. Kevin, me and Amy were on that, and it's real simple and nothing more exciting there. As was mentioned in the chief's reports, me and Councilmember Leland and the chief went through police interviews. There was a successful candidate. He may be or may not be in this room right now. I don't know. No, Kevin. I was not qualified for that either, Wes. And those were good. Had some quality people. Narrowed it down to three. We had six applicants narrowed down to three for interviews. Had one going through that process now. One we've, you know, we're moving forward with. So hope to get that process wrapped up here within the week or so. But there's, you know, there's lots to it. There's psych evals and all that stuff. So it's a thing. You're in other people's schedules on this one. So there's more to it. But we, again, had a successful candidate. Funnest thing I did, I went and bought candy today, Costco, for our Halloween. So yeah, Halloween, let's go. So we got that from Costco today before they ran out. I mean, Kevin took a field trip. It was fun. And went to, I don't know how many homecoming events over the last weekend. I went to a parade, a volleyball game, a football game. I had two children go to the dance. I didn't attend the dance. No, I didn't feel the need to do that. But they did. It seems like that just was a great community event. And again, yes. Getting bigger every year. The parade was awesome. Seeing more and more people embracing it and knowing it's a thing. So I liked that. That's about it for the things I've done in regard to some public comment. Just like to say again that my door is open to both the public and you guys. If you have any questions regarding any of the questions arised by the public here, of any of our people, we can go over it. I again, I'm very confident in them, and I strongly think they do a great job. And also, when it pertains to public comment today, I am proud to say that I think every one of us here definitely meets our oath and duties. We all are all average citizens of this town.
Every one of us represents the average, and I think the voters who elected us clearly say that when they put us in these positions. So I'm proud of you guys all, and I think that if you guys have any questions regarding our staff, it's open to their select questions. So that's all I would say. That's it from the mayor report. Questions? Nothing? All right. Councilmember reports. Councilmember Dahl.
I have nothing to report.
Councilmember Leland.
I don't believe I have anything either. Like you said, I sat in on the police interviews. But now.
Councilmember Price.
I did go to the Helena Forward. They were discussing their growth plans. And one of the things with that, I was curious to see what they planned for the future. And I thought it was interesting in their future development plans for the city of Helena. They have Seaver Park in their future development plans. That was interesting since we also have Seaver Park.
The sewer flows that way is why.
It does roll downhill.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting. But one of the comments that I just made at that, I sat at a table with a county planner and some residents, and was just the necessity for, as East Helena and Helena are now literally abutting against each other, that we need to coordinate those plans more, not just because we can definitely have separate plans. And we just need to work collaboratively on that from the county side, city, and both cities. So did go to the Habitat for Humanity, named the neighborhood event. It was really good. Jacob Kuntz did an amazing job of telling some of the history of East Helena about the roses, and had the live boat and got set up, but then that it was really neat and a great event, really well attended. And unfortunately, it was the same night as the Hattie's event. So it was a packed night for both things. It was busy all around. But for Head Start, the term escaped my head. But anyway, it was a great event, and they named it after the Rose family and gave a really good story about that. Homecoming parade, thanks Kevin to you and your team, and it was fantastic. There were over 300 kids that went to the dance, I know, so it was a big homecoming dance. Did go to the Helena Food Share event tonight, and folks did ask about, they had their grand opening, and they did ask about the East Helena Food Share. They were concerned, one individual was concerned that East Helena was closing, and I clarified that it is not closing. So that will continue at the Methodist Church. And then MBAC was canceled. That was supposed to be today. The new editor of the Boulder Monitor reached out to me and asked to meet. He had questions wanting to know if more local East Helena news would be welcomed. And so had a visit with him. And I encouraged him to also reach out to a few other people and gave him some names. Amy, can you email me the audit report, please? Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday evening, the Northwestern Energy is hosting a chamber after hours event at the high school. So I would encourage y'all to come. It's a public event, 4 to 6 p.m., showing off the high school. There will also be an award given that evening, and it's hosted by Northwestern Energy, but it's at East Helena High. So this will be the second chamber event that we've had in the past year here at East Helena. So glad about that. And that's all.
On the note about the Boulder Monitor, I replied to the email to we come in on Monday. He wants to say what we'll do.
Super nice guy. Really interested in East Helena, and just felt that we might use some more local news that's published and available for folks. So
we used to have a column in the Boulder Monitor.
True. Used to be the back page. There was actually a
Ernestine Dorner.
There was a,
I don't think he that.
There was.
He
yep.
That up.
Yeah. There was.
Until she passed away. She wrote an article every week.
Every week. And then there was a, as the smokestack turns, which was a fake,
fake, but probably some realness to
it. Yeah, people figured out some people were, it was quite as the smokestack turns. If you could ever find an old copy of it, classics. People figured out who was who, though. In the
Sir Keith Hammond,
it was hilarious.
Yeah,
once people figured out who they were, though, it was bad. Great, great history bit, though, there. Councilmember Ferguson.
I don't think I'm very important.
Pete? Went to the homecoming football game, which was awesome. It was a rout. I think we walked in the stands at 14-0. It quickly got worse than that. Good job. For the other team, yeah, we East Helena did awesome. We have East Clark Street Water, or I guess Sewer District, is have a meeting with Mr. Murdo tomorrow on that. And some discussion points that'll be up at RPA, the folks who designed that system and what was initially included and where we need to get to. So that'll be a good meeting. I think Kevin might be able to make it if we are able to adjust the time a little bit. And then court's going great. The officers are good and things are awesome. Depending on your questions, that's all I got.
That's it. Well, that'll lead us to the payment of the bills.
We need to discuss Halloween. Who's doing what?
Yeah, let's have a little conversation over here. Let's we need to hand out the candy as always. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to pull that first shift as always. I'll pull that first hour if anybody else wants to jump.
What do we do? 5:30 to
I think it starts at 5.
Started 5.
We did the street, we changed the street closure a little bit. We did the street closure 4:30 to 8.
4:30 to 8.
Just because the kids seem to be coming out.
Yeah.
And that's when
the car show starts too. The trunk or treat.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we need to cover from 4:30 to 8. Right.
Well, I would reckon, I like first shift, but I don't know what hours you're talking.
I reckon that we'll be out of candy by the end of the first shift. We have 1,248 candy bars. That'll be, it is what it is.
Yeah.
At some point.
Well, I want to do 4:30 to 5:30 and then 5:30 to 6:30, 7, 8, whenever we're out of candy.
Yeah.
They're unable to
six. I will work that first shift but it wants to because we really need one person there probably. So we can just go 3 shifts. Okay. We can go 4:30, 5:30, 5:30, 6:30, and 6:30, 7:30 probably be work. You want to do that? I don't think we need more. The four of us, are you willing to jump on this one or you got your kids?
Well,
I kind of figured you're busy on it.
Well, I'd like to do it too, but I'll also have a car out doing the trunk or treat.
What kind of car you got? Fancy car?
A 38 Woody. So I don't have it. It's my uncle's. But I don't have a camera in it. And
sure. Giving nice. Well, we can throw the three of us with the top, I think.
Yeah. We'll just divide it.
And I make, oh, yeah, I can.
Sure. You'll have to get a candy bar.
A man.
Oh, the man.
I don't know, Wes.
I can't even speak a little bit.
Okay.
If that works.
Well, if Kelly does 4:30 to 5:30, you do 5:30 to 6:30.
Well, if you want to do 4:30 to 5:30, I'll do 5:30 to 6:30. And that
doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll do the first one then.
If you hold adamant on the other, I do the last shift.
And I don't care, just so I know when I need to be here at 6:30.
I'll do the first shift. I like to get in there and see the little tiny ones first. That's my favorite there. Yeah. They're hilarious. It's not, I mean, this is just, here's a candy bar now. There's not a cookie and
pour. No, it's a bank. And everybody else still doing
it?
Oh, yeah. Same little roundabout in the gym. You guys will probably right next to us.
Yeah.
Love it. They got delivery of candy today, too. Not sure what they got going on. We try to keep it away.
Did you buy good candy?
I bought what Costco had. My main goal right now is to keep away from Ferguson. The other one. Jeez. I think his stomach got big when he saw that come in. There we go.
Okay.
That brings us back to pay the bills.
We paid the bills.
Have a motion to pay the bills. In a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:28. Sub 1 hour. Nice work, Susan.
Okay.
But I have